Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the post-Biden and Trump debacle episode. The first presidential debacle analysis. Well, it looks like they didn't supplement him. They didn't give him any kind of, I don't know, mechanized AI or any kind of super juice or anything like that. He is what he is, and it showed. That is being Biden. He is who we thought he was. And I want to start with something from, this is from MSNBC. It reads, breaking news, debate between Biden and Trump just ended. First presidential debate analysis. This is a desk with a white woman on the end in between Rachel Maddow. And then, I don't know this person either, a black woman with her, basically her hair, shaved to boot camp level. And we're going to listen to what she has to say. I want you to listen closely to see if you can pick out about three of the points that I'm going to pull out of this. But listen closely to what she says, and I'll give you a second afterwards to see if you're going to guess at least one of the three that I'm going to go to. Here we go.
I, too, was on the phone throughout much of the debate with Obama, world people, with Democrats, with people who are political operatives, with campaign operatives. My phone really never stopped buzzing throughout. And the universal reaction was somewhere approaching panic. The people who were texting with me were very concerned about President Biden seeming extremely feeble, seeming extremely weak.
Okay, first of all, did you hear Maddow like, oh, well, this was news for me? She goes, huh, very alarmed, huh, I have to write that down. I don't think that I noticed that. I was not told that my brain was supposed to work in that direction, so that's very interesting. And she, they were very alarmed, huh? Very alarmed at that. I mean, it seemed magnificent to me. But that's not what caught my ear at first. Did you hear her kind of decide before she said the list of who she was going to talk to? She goes, and then she goes, ah, F it. She goes, with Obama. Okay, what does this tell you? He is who we thought he was too. Anybody using part of their brain thought that this is Obama's third term. You can probably find the quote. I think I may have put it on an episode where he said, of course, I couldn't do a third term, but if I did, I'd, you know, be, you know, coaching the White House as an advisor from, I'd do it that way. He said something to that. That's very, very close in paraphrase. It's not exact. And remember Valerie Jarrett, the one who Roseanne got in trouble for, because she thought that Valerie Jarrett looked like one of the Planet of the Apes characters. And then she said, I didn't even know she was black. Valerie Jarrett, very light-skinned. Valerie Jarrett, a main advisor and aide to Obama during his White House. So much so that she would stay at the White House. And then when Obama decides to go, you know, go off and just do after-president things, show up here and there and, you know, go fishing, I guess, and tend to your library. But he was never going to do that. He kind of broke new ground. I mean, he immediately was going to become an activist former president. And he was. Valerie Jarrett ends up at his office building that he keeps in Washington, and she works there. So when we say Obama's behind the scenes and is happy with all the shit that has gone down in the 4 years, and all of it's exactly what he wanted, there you go. This person's the only person she mentions out of her mouth is Obama. He's that activist, not trying to go, oh, guys, what are we going to do? No, not internal. Oh, man, we got to have a game plan. No, no. He's telling people so that immediately after the presidential debate, his opinion can be heard that this is a wreck. Okay, another thing that she said, you go back and listen, I'm not going to play it again, is that they were very alarmed with that they were alarmed that he was seemed very feeble and very weak. I'll let you think about where I'm going to go with that for just a second. I'll vamp here. Okay, where am I going to go with that? Why were they alarmed? Were they surprised? This is another example of how the freak weirdos in that direction, reality is only reality once they've said it. And then, of course, it seems common sense. Never does anybody get credit for like, yeah, what about all that time that you said I was either a jerk or that I was wrong or that I shouldn't be able to share my opinion when I just said it before you said it and it was the same thing and I was accurate? What do you mean they were alarmed of him seeming very weak and very feeble? That's not news. You all know. But see, now it's time to admit it, which to me goes to the idea. Is it because, you know, anytime someone put up a video of Biden stammering and basically just spinning his mental wheels, you said, oh, freaking look who's putting that up. I gotta hate him. I gotta hate her. I'm sure it's exaggerated. Really? Really? You don't watch your own president? Do you not watch your own president? You know he's feeble. You know he's weak-minded. You know he's weak. This doesn't surprise you. Don't look at me in the face and act like all of you people were surprised. Three, where does this end up going? I had not thought of this before, and I've heard people say, oh, they plan on replacing him. There's news they plan on replacing him. But until just the other day, I didn't realize, don't ask me why. Don't ask me why. I should have known this. But this was very early for a debate, like historically early for a debate. They're usually much later. Well, then this makes sense. They wanted to hang him out to dry, and I say that only in the descriptive way of they shouldn't have rescued him. He's supposed to stand on his own out there. But knowing how awful he is, they're not unhappy with the things he's done, just the perception. So it makes one wonder whether they put an incredibly weak and decrepit man up 4 years ago just so they could make this play. A, you make white males look like idiots that much more, and that's what you're pushing now, and I'll get to that briefly. I listened to and watched Steve Saylor, who I did not know of before, on Tucker Carlson. He had some great points on how apparently the linchpin of holding the party of the fringes together is to just everybody gets reminded to hate Whitey. And that's how you don't wonder, who's this strangeoid you just brought into the tent? I don't necessarily agree with that. Hey, look, hate Whitey. So as part of the plan to have a white president that is so inept that everybody just kind of gets this impression that white males are that way and we got to replace them. One wonders, because of all the potentially capable candidates on the planet, basically Biden did not get challenged. And then they agree to an early debate when if they're in his corner, there's no way in hell they would agree to an early debate. They'd agree to as few debates as possible. So did he agree to it or did Obama agree to it? And then what do we have next? What is the plan? The plan is kind of like 4 years ago when 2,000 mules proved that 4 out of the 5 states that those urban areas were a part of would have flipped based on the most conservative numbers of the number of ballot drop mules trafficking votes that could have possibly have dropped. The most conservative numbers of mules and a very conservative number of how many those highest level mules actually delivered would have pivoted 4 states. So that was undemocratic. And now they're doing something else undemocratic. You know that whole primary thing? Yeah, we're just gonna whatever. Not even worry about letting you show much of an opinion because it's not gonna matter. Because we're gonna take him out anyway. We're gonna put in who we want. So fuck you, Democratic voters. Fuck you, Democratic primary voters. We're just gonna put in who we want, and then you will, now that you've been, your switch is flipped to go, oh, I don't have to vote for him. Thank God, because before then, your little weak ass brain wouldn't have ever thought that. Oh no, Biden, awesome. Biden, yeah, Biden 2024. I was on a walk the other day and I'm like, someone has one up already. What? Inflation is 100 to 200% in 4 years. The only thing they cover it with is gas, where they don't allow it to get to $10 and then $15. And somebody's has not been given the permission to go, what the fuck? Such that they at least wait to put up their campaign sign? I don't know if I want to put that. I mean, I guess I will. The motherfucker has it up in June. So, now that people are going to be given permission, they'll be like, oh, well, thank God I don't have to vote for him. I didn't really want to vote for him, but somehow my brain did not allow me to understand that because Democrat Party. But now they'll be like, awesome, I get to vote for somebody else. And anybody you put up besides Biden that gets for, they don't care that it's forced upon them. It'll be a necessity. We didn't foresee it, but we've got to do it now. Well, who is it? Is it Kamala? Is this how we will have to steal an election too? Don't get me wrong. They'll have to do that. If Trump is not in prison, and maybe if he is on election day, he's beating the pants off of anybody the Democrats put up. If you don't take into account them trying to steal the election by, if this immigration thing comes through where he's trying to give amnesty to any number of hundreds of thousands or millions of invaders. They're trying to steal the election. If they don't, then whoever they put up will get their pants beat off. But it's going to be interesting as to what their selection is. Maybe it's going to be this woman. I don't know. Are we going to have a clown, transvestite, lesbian who's already, I can't even think of the combinations, who identifies as a shark? Is that who we're going to put up? Are they going to put in somebody, and this person is, what are they going to do? So then quickly too, so those are 3 points from that one. Oh, people were quite alarmed. I'm totally surprised, because normally he looks so with it. Normally such a strong orator. But now, well, we were quite alarmed. Oh yeah, you weren't alarmed until today. Today's the day you get to put out the narrative, you little disingenuous wench. So quickly to Steve Saylor, he had some really good stuff on there. Supposedly a guy who's made observations off of statistics for a long time and just kind of said obvious stuff. He was on Tucker Carlson. And I've always been very outraged at the just divisiveness that the Democratic Party goes to immediately, if it is at all possible, to either blame Whitey, some direct white person, or to just play the race card. They do it. And it's infuriating to me, because you can't get past color when you disingenuously use color all the time. And you damn know well better that the intentions were not racist and the person is not racist. But as often as you can paint it, you do it every time. It's disgusting. And I say that also because, MLK, you may have heard of him. Judge by the content of the character, not the color of their skin. Well, those people are being dissed because they don't agree politically, and they can point to the color of their skin. Or they can say whoever they're criticizing, they point to the color of the target of the criticism. The person that they are targeting, that is the Democrats. I didn't explain that well. If they don't target that person based on their skin, then they target that person based on the alleged victim. And the victim's skin color. The you don't get to criticize people of a certain color. So that's how they work it. So Steve Saylor, and I've always been mad about it, and it seems simple, but then Saylor explained it in a different way. And Steve Saylor said, well, these are, it's the party of fringes over the years. So they keep adding the fringes. But the issue is, how do you hold that together? Because it is a coalition that many of the folks may not really be dig too much the other parts of the party. But see, this is the problem. They're a communist party that goes by identity politics. And so their ideas are bad, but they hold it together with, we're the party that takes you in. And the other party is about ideas, not always manifested, but they don't play identity or fringe identity politics. I guess you could say they still say play identity politics. So here we are with all these, every new fringe group that we can literally make up once every 6 months, a new group. We now have just said, plus. You know, there's going to be seven. In a year, there'll be five more. And another year, there'll be, who knows, 7 to 12 more. And so we're the LBTGQ LMNOP plus party. We're not going to keep adding to it. But you know, all of you people identify as weirdos. We got you. Yeah, but are your ideas good? Yeah, but don't worry. We got you. We will make sure that government classifies us to the granular degree instead of seeing us as human. And then we will argue that the other people seem weird because they don't want to constantly classify to the nth degree all of your personal characteristics, nor is it any of their damn business. So Saylor says, it's not the race card per se. It's that you need a legacy majority. You need a legacy bogeyman. He didn't choose that word, I am. To be the target to bring everybody else together. How infuriating is that? To point out a certain race, and that's how we keep all these people, certain race and you know, sometimes gender, and then sexuality. And that is supposed to be the target of everybody else's hate. You understand that they're trying to create unity among a bunch of far different groups by inciting hate for another group based on their race and their gender. You talk about irony. It's not a party of unity. It's insane. So anyway, I guess that's all I have for now. Thanks for listening. Just pretty incredible. Of course, the reason that she's saying this is that he stumbled all over the place. So he is who we thought he was. Obama is who we thought he was. She let it slip. Oh, yeah, Obama's telling me this is a disaster. This is a disaster. Why are you saying that? Are you in that corner or not? What are you doing? You regroup afterwards. But we all knew he was a puppet of Obama. But this just goes and proves it. And that once again, MSNBC and the like can always be trusted to decide when truth is truth. When they finally open the gates for it to be truth. Oh, we were very, very concerned about how he looked very feeble and very weak. Let's listen to this again.
Who was on the phone throughout much of the debate with Obama, world people, with Democrats, with people who are political operatives, with campaign operatives. My phone really never stopped buzzing throughout. And the universal reaction was somewhere approaching panic. The people who were texting with me were very concerned about President Biden seeming extremely feeble, seeming extremely weak. I too.
Whoa! What happened to you? Goodness gracious. Even Obama. Whoa. I don't know what's happened with him. He seems very feeble and very weak. This is quite a surprise. We should do something. Liars and losers. It's an endless stream. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. I'm Tyson Harley. Catch me here on the Scales of Truth as well as Chemology 411. I think this will be 204 episodes now. And over there, we've done 256-ish, even just weekly. And then for a little while, we did some supplemental episodes. So probably closer to 280 to 290 now, just between the two of us. And then similarly, and then separately, Kim does some of her own episodes. So all told, there's something like 400 episodes over there and quite a few episodes over here. All right, guys, thanks for listening.